And everybody's like, oh, I really loved him. I liked him. I'm like, me too. I want to have a beer with him. They're like, yeah, I want to have a beer with him. I'm like, he can't do the job. You know that.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Hiring is such a strange science. I know that when I'm interviewing candidates, I never feel like I'm asking the right questions. So I called Patty McCord.
It's such a false scenario, right? Interviewing's weird, but you want to get a chance to have like an authentic conversation with somebody.
For 14 years, she was the chief talent officer of Netflix, a place that is pretty famous for the way that it treats its employees and how it goes about identifying talent. Well, McCord now consults with companies about the best ways to hire people, and she also writes about this issue for the Harvard Business Review. And she says that most companies are going about it the wrong way.
You know, their objective is to put butts in seats instead of build teams. And so I actually think that most large company recruiting processes actually keep you away from having the best talent.
She says it's less of a science and more of an art.
It's a little bit like painting. And the finished result is because it's all in the prep. So rather than start with the kind of person you want to hire, tell me what it is you want this team to accomplish. And the more you can have clarity about what problem is you're trying to solve, the better off you are at the recruiting and interview part. I mean, one of the things that I think we could do much better is understand, you know, the networking, social networking, and how beautiful that is in terms of helping us build great teams.
What do you mean?
So when I coach a CEO of a startup, I'll say to them, first of all, do you have at least 500 LinkedIn connections? 1,000's better. And you should be interviewing people 3 times a week, and everybody in your company should see that you're doing that. Because you want to have a big, broad network. You want to know all the talent that's possible, you know, now and in the future for what you're trying to build.
But doesn't that possibly lead to some insularity, or you're only sort of seeing your friends of friends, as
yeah,
it were?
Yeah, I actually don't. I think it actually can be the other way around. So if you have 500 people in your LinkedIn network and you figure out, or any kind of network you want to use, and then you say, well, I'm trying to solve this kind of problem and I don't know anybody in my current network that knows how to do that, I'm going to reach through to other people to put me in touch with other people. And I mean, most of the calls I get, most of what I do now is honestly a cold call or an email message or a LinkedIn contact with somebody who says, I just would like to meet you and talk to you.
And how does that work?
It works great.
What are the kind of questions that people should be asking?
Well, first of all, again, it's in the prep. You want to put together your interview team long before a candidate ever comes in to interview. You want someone who can interview the person for technical skills. You want someone who can interview the person for problem-solving skills, whatever your problem is. You want to have somebody who interviews them for fit within the team. And you want somebody on the interview team who has a track record of hiring great people. And then what you do is you start with the problem in mind, and you want to probe people for, have they solved a problem like that before? How did they think about doing that?
That's a question I had. What are
some of those interview questions? I'll give you a couple of them, but it's much less about the clever interview question, because the best way to do an interview is to have the candidate be comfortable, and you want to find out who their true self is. And so if you ask too clever of a question and they give you too clever of an answer, you might want to have another beer with them, but that doesn't necessarily mean you want to hire them. You know, I used to ask people what their career goals were, and then I realized, geez, you know, what's my career goal? To be employed? So instead I would ask, what don't you want to do anymore? You know, what don't you ever want to do again? And everybody always pauses, and usually we get into,
like I just did there.
Yeah, like you just did there. And that's a great one, because now you can say, gosh, Patty, I don't know, maybe I never want to interview a politician again, right? And I say, oh, so Charlie, tell me about that interview.
Right. Or maybe coming out of the conversation, you realize this is not somebody that we want to assign to cover, in this instance, politics.
Yes. Right, but so the interview question is just the lead-in. Great interviews start with one question, and then you just keep probing.
How do you measure if somebody is creative or they can do problem-solving? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, I'm thinking about the people that I've interviewed over the years, and I'm trying to get to that, but I'm not sure if I'm asking the right questions or probing them to get that sense that they can really do it.
Have you ever been run?
I think so.
Okay, and what? How did you know?
Because I'm working with one of them right now.
Yep, and do you remember your interview with them?
No, not specifically, but what came out of it was a sense of passion and genuine interest and a baseline knowledge of how things worked. She's listening right now. And the sense of a lot of potential and some creativity. I got a little bit of that sense, and I thought, this is somebody who can figure some stuff out.
Yeah, right. And you probably, it probably wasn't an answer that she gave to a particularly clever question that you asked her, since you don't even remember it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's about the conversation that you had about what you're trying to accomplish, where you thought, this would be fun. I think this person could do this.
Why do you think that people aren't very good at asking good questions, at really finding good candidates to bring on board?
Partly because they don't practice, and partly because it's a very uncomfortable situation for the interviewer, too. What we don't realize is that people on both sides of the table are nervous, and people on both sides of the table want to impress the other person.
It's interesting. There is this fake authenticity that you're trying to not only answer the questions that they may have, but want them to want to have a beer with you, too. It's a little bit like dating.
Yeah, it is a little bit like dating, but here's the difference. I mean, here's where the Silicon Valley goes wrong, and I'm telling you, I have lived and breathed this most of my entire adult life. The Silicon Valley thinking says, you know what, I want someone who's smart, and I want them to be creative, and I want them to be deeply technical, and I want them to really love what they're doing. I want someone, well, pretty much just like me.
Right, and so is that the problem that Silicon Valley has run into, that they end up hiring people that look just like them?
Yeah, when you're early in your career, you don't know that many people, and you haven't been exposed to people who are very different than you typically. And
so you hire your friends. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that we could have better teams, more diverse teams, more teams that reflect our customers. So a lot of the startups that I work on are consumer-facing companies. And one of the things that's always sort of saddeningly shocking to me is I'll go into a technical team of a consumer-facing company that has a product that appeals to everybody, and it's all young white men, you know, because like is hired, like is hired, like is hired, like. And at some point, if you're going to be successful, you need to have people in the room that can reflect, you know, the people that you're selling your stuff to. So I'll give you an example. I was talking to a group of CEOs, and one of them said, oh, you know, the war for talent is impossible. It's just we can't hire great people, and we can't find qualified technical people. And I said, well, why don't you just hire women this year? And she said, qualified women never cross my desk. And I said, qualified men are walking across your desk? She's like, well, you know what I mean. HR never gives them to me. I'm like, okay, so skip that part. And go out with a piece of paper and a pen and ask every single person in your 120-person company who's the best woman they've ever worked with, and go interview them. That's 120 interviews. You can do it. Just do it. Put it on your calendar and interview them one after the other. And trust me, there's a qualified woman out there.
Sounds like you're making the argument that there's a little bit of laziness on the part of the hiring manager.
Uh-huh. Yes. See, because my philosophy is that the hiring managers, they're the ones that own building great teams. They own it. And that the HR people and the recruiters should be their partners in helping them with good discipline and follow-up and process, if they need process. And so I call it discipline. They need better discipline on figuring out who's the best person. But building the team is not the responsibility of the recruiter. It's the responsibility of the manager.
But I guess the danger there is if you leave it with the manager, like will hire like, because they're busy building a product or doing whatever it is they're doing. They don't really want to spend a lot of time aggressively going out and looking for people. So let me just hire my friend who I know can do the job.
The only other thing I want to say is that it is part of the job. You've said, you know, I'm busy making stuff, so I don't have time to hire. And that's a losing proposition.
Hattie, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hattie McCord was the chief talent officer for Netflix for 14 years and is now a consultant and a contributor to the Harvard Business Review. And I have to say, after this conversation, I'm still thinking about how I'd answer that question. What do I not want to do at work anymore? What's the best interview question you've ever been asked or that you've asked in an interview? Let us know. Send a tweet to us at Money Talking. This episode was produced by Julia Longoria, and our engineer is Merritt Jacob. A special thanks to Amy Poftak at the Harvard Business Review. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.